This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everyone? It is Friday night. Time to talk independent wrestling and independent comic books on your favorite show, Indie Alley, where wrestling and comics collide. What is happening, Fred? How are you doing this Friday night?
Oh, man, Andrew, I am doing good. How about yourself?
Just good. Not fantastic.
Not fantastic.
Not spectacular. We're almost to Black Friday, man.
Yeah. That's why, oh, we should tell people that we are taking up next week because of Black Friday, but we will be dropping content.
Yes, we will be dropping content, but we will not be here doing a show on next Friday because I need to buy a pair of socks for 25 cents on Black Friday.
Is that what you're looking forward to?
No. Yeah. Huh. A good pair of socks is important.
I'm trying to get deals on like protein bars or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd do some protein bars. See, we don't wear socks very often out here.
Oh, it's I don't even want to hear about it, but it is like 35 here in the great state of Michigan, and I'm still wearing my shorts.
I turned on the fireplace a couple days ago because it rained.
What is it, like 60 there?
It was like maybe 40 in the morning.
But when you turned maybe. It on, what was it?
It actually got kind of hot in here.
That's,
it got too warm.
That's banana hammock weather.
Yeah. So, yep, still wearing this. You know, I wear shorts around the house, definitely. I don't know if I'd go out in shorts. You know, you get stared at a little bit in shorts right now. So
Just look at everybody and say A a lot, and they'll think you're Canadian.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to have a hard time passing as Canadian. But
nice try. You know, you never know. You could be like, people are too judgmental. They don't know.
True. Very true.
You say you're from Toronto. That's a very diverse area.
Yes, that is true. I'm a wrestler from Toronto. I went up there. I'm a lucha star who trained in Toronto.
Former lucha star. Hell no. What's your
name? Hey, Michael Stunt? I can do it too.
They're like, what's your wrestling name? El Guapito.
El Guapito. No. That doesn't sound good at all.
I was a ladies' man.
Be like Angel Garza out there ripping his pants off in front of Lilo Rush's family.
You said
or is it Lee?
It's
I'm trying to say, no, it's
Leo.
No, I know what it is, but what's the movie? Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, Lilo.
Yeah, Lilo Rush. Yeah. Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for you, Dr. Joe.
Right on. Well, we should get into our comics this week. We have three number ones, three really good books written by people we really like, especially, you know, Fred got his man, Jeff Lemire, to drop a book this week. So that's always good. Your shelf gets fuller and fuller. So do you buy those or do you wait and buy them in trade? So you have your giant.
I do both.
Lemire trade shelf.
I do both. When the floppies drop, I get a nerd boner. So I have to have it in my hands right away to read it. So that's, you know, it's Jeff Lemire. So it's already a 10 before I open it.
Yeah. Didn't Stan Lee say something about that? You know, holding real tits versus virtual tits. You know, he's some kind of in that comparison about digital
can you say
digital
that?
Comics. I did.
Fake cones.
He made some comment about that, about digital comics versus real comics.
Yes, you can tell when it's real and when they're fake. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Or just internet.
And we're talking about man tits, so don't get upset, ladies.
Yeah, this is a wrestling show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of man tits on this show.
Like Trevor Murdoch's.
Yep. Yeah. Like Trevor Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch had a big match. Anyway, let's get back to our comics. Boy, do we get off track. Okay, the first comic this week by Jeff Lemire is Family Tree number one. In the family tree, an 8-year-old girl literally begins to transform into a tree. Her single mom, troubled brother, and possibly insane grandfather embark on a bizarre and heart-wrenching odyssey across the back roads of America in desperate search for the cure for her horrifying transformation before it's too late. Jeff Lemire, Phil Hester, Eric Gepster, Ryan Cody, Steve Wands, Will Dennis, published by Image. This is Family Tree. I just said the names because they didn't put what they did, so I'm not going to guess exactly. You don't, but we know Jeff wrote it.
You don't want to play that game?
I don't want to play that game.
Okay, well, all right. This book right here, of course, we already covered it. It's Jeff Lemire, so it's already a 10 out of 10, so eat that one, big fanboys. No, really. it has a lot of sarcasm in the beginning, especially when we meet Loretta. Loretta works at a grocery store. She's a single mom. She's struggling. She smokes the endo. An endo, for you know, millennials or boomers out there, that's what we call trees as well, or weed. Speaking of trees, see how I did that right there? Maybe, yeah. Do you think that her smoking weed is causing her daughter to turn into a tree?
What if it's the opposite? What if you have to be a weed smoker to not turn into a tree?
Oh, wow. Then you have to get, like, your weed card and stuff.
Because her and the son don't turn into trees, and they smoke weed.
So. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So that contact buzz doesn't work for her.
That contact buzz isn't enough.
Right. But, yeah, it has a lot of sarcasm in this book. I'm guessing it takes place in the 90s, because you see the tabloids of one of them reads like Clinton cheating in the White House. So of course that's the 90s for me, and makes sense because Jeff Lemire is around my age. So these are times that really hit him. I liked the beginning where the Loretta's like having the sarcastic squish berries moment with Mr. Stone, who happens to be a fucking asshole, and I really can't stand
Boomer.
Yeah, I can't stand people that talk down to people, especially like at your grocery store or things like that. Like, they look down upon them and like, it's your job, do it, stuff like that. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? You know, so
yeah.
I really got excited about Loretta's comebacks, and she was very witty. And needless to say, we get farther into the book, and we find out like the family and the aspects. Like, she's raising this family by herself, son and daughter. The daughter has some sort of rash, or what appears to be a rash, but actually, she come to find out she's turning into a tree. Some other crazy stuff happens. Grandpa comes back. She didn't even know it was her great-grandfather, so I'm guessing Family Tree has got a lot of broken limbs, but how do you feel about this one, Andrew? See what I did there?
I saw what you did there. Well, you know, it's funny. I don't read the solicits until we do this, and I was like, damn, the solicit gives away a lot.
Because
we don't even find out that he's really Grandpa until the very end of this thing. But yeah, it was creepy. You know, the fact that she's turning into a tree and there's a branch growing out of her back, it's kind of terrifying because it's the youngest child. And so that's what makes it scary. If it was that asshole teenage son, we probably wouldn't care. We'd be like, good.
Yeah, you know, right. Karma got him.
Yeah, exactly. And he's such a little ass. He like even tells his sister, oh, wow, there's a tree growing out of her back and all this stuff. Or no,
well, yeah, he is, because he even said to like his 8-year-old sister when they were talking about the rash, and he was like, is it gonorrhea or something to that point? And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I was like, that sounds like my house. Okay, it doesn't, but it was my house when I was a kid talking to my sisters, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that kid gets busted for having pot at school. Mm. That's how we find out about that. But what's great is the mom leans back and takes her pot back from the principal.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But yeah, this is a little scary. I thought it was scary. I know you thought it was funnier than I did. I think it was funny, but it was more like I tell you, made me think of It. You know, the kid's hilarious in It, but the movie's scary. And it's not about being funny, but there just happens to be a funny character who has great witty dialogue. Uh-huh. Just the what also creeped me out is what was up with those dudes that were trying to kidnap them?
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
And trying to take the kids from her. That was some really freaked out stuff.
Especially because one of them happened to be one of the guys at the grocery store, and he's very odd that, you know, he doesn't have eyebrows and he has a bald head. That's red lights right there, you know. Unless he has like a drinking problem and his friends fuck with him, that's the only like I don't know why else he doesn't have eyebrows. I mean,
yeah,
but it
leans too close to the trash can at the fire,
right? You know? Or like he has some kind of medical condition, but yeah, I don't know, man. It was creepy because they were coming into the car and I thought they were trying to save him because weren't they in a car accident or something?
Yeah, because they like hit each other. And, the two cars hit each other.
Right, and I assumed that they were carrying an axe because they were trying to bust them out of the car. But then I was like, wait, what are they doing? And they're like running away from him and they're, you know, saying the things that they said that I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah. Are they carrying axes because they know something about the tree? So I think this book has a lot more deeper things to reveal for us. But
yeah, did you see the cover for next one? They showed the cover and the grandpa's holding somebody that looks like they've already turned into a tree.
Oh, yeah. I was going to make a comment about that because they look like Groot.
Yeah, they do look like Groot.
Yeah. And then there's like bodies everywhere and it's a bunch of the matter of fact, all these people are... they're all bald too and missing eyebrows.
Really?
After looking at the pictures too, yeah. Maybe we're onto something.
We might be. Either it's an artistic choice or it means something. If it's an artistic choice, freaky choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what he has against like Bull Shannon from Night Court. Because that's what the guy looks like.
All right. Okay, no one's going to get that reference.
Oh, that's Richard Mull. You got it, right?
Yeah, but I'm old. So I'm older than you.
Yeah. So. I was, you know, I wanted always to be Dan. What's the Dan guy's name?
The slimy lawyer?
Yeah, Dan Fielding. Yeah. I want to be Dan Fielding. He was having his way, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But now that's not acceptable, so I don't want to be like him anymore. Let's get that straight. No, no, I'm not at all.
Well, family tree just went off the rails,
yeah.
as we tend to do.
At least we didn't keep it in the family. That's for damn sure.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this is a good comic book. You should get it.
Yeah, it's a great book. Check it out. Read everything Jeff Lemire writes. But yeah, I can't wait to talk about this next one.
Yeah, it was really well written. All right, the next book for today is Black Stars Above, number one. The year is 1887 and a storm brews. A young fur trapper flees her overbearing family only to get lost in a dreamlike winter wilderness that harbors a cosmic threat. The fur trade is dead and the nation is changing. Yet, Eulalie DuBois has spent her entire life tending to her family's trap line. Isolated from the world, a chance at freedom comes in the form of a parcel that needs to be delivered to the nameless town north of the wilderness. Little does Eulalie, I can't say that, know something sinister hides in those woods and yearns for what she has. Mm-hmm. Written by Lonnie Nadler, illustrated by Jenna Cha, colors by Brad Simpson, letters by Hassan Othman Alahu, published by Vault, Black Stars Above.
Okay. This.
Eulalie.
I pronounced it Eulalie, but I'm not sure. I could be wrong. Maybe that was just easier for me to say.
I did the Lee because maybe it's French, and that's usually how the L I E is pronounced at the end of French. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna, like, and Dubois is definitely French.
Dubois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have friends with that last name. But
Canada.
No, they're actually from France. But back to the book. This book right here, big ups to Lonnie Nadler for his research on the Canadian people, especially like the history of this area. And what I mean by that is this book, Eulalie, I'm going to call her Eulalie. I'm probably butchering her name. She struggles to find herself, and she's a writer. But what I really like about this book is that she's a Métis, which means, for those people that don't know, Métis are people that are mixed, Native American, European ancestry. They're usually from areas around like the Red and Saskatchewan rivers. And the reason for that is because they're fur traders, and a lot of them speak Mischief, which is a language used by the descendants of, and mainly the Fur Nation women that are in those tribes. The men mainly spoke like French themselves. And if you noticed in the book, the dialogue for the women were always with two brackets, but the males were one because they were speaking two different versions. The reason why I'm aware of this is because my old lady is French Canadian and Swedish. So this is really like the history that he put behind this book, and kind of throwing in the HBC, which is, for people that don't know, like, I'm just gonna get into like all the history stuff right now. The HBC is the Hudson Bay Company, and the Hudson Bay Company is currently a retail company throughout like Canada. It's kind of like it's big. They have a lot of stores. They branched off to a lot of things, but originally it started from fur trading. So they built upon this since the 1800s. Now, for the book, it gets into a lot of the stuff like that, dealing with the situation of Yuli, Eulalie, whatever we call her. I'll call her E. She's living with her parents, her mom, her dad, and her grandpa. Her grandpa's missing like a part of his leg. She's taking care of him, but she has all these duties, and their parents kind of basically sell her off so that they can get a job, so they can feed themselves, because the winters are rough. And the reason, dealing in Canada and stuff, and if you ever watched like Little House on the Prairie or things like that, when the winter came in Minnesota, I'm dating myself, it was a show when I was a kid. I'm in my early 40s, so you gotta tell me you at least read those books or you heard them. But I know there's a certain culture that canceled it. but let's not get into that. But you know, it took place in that time, and the things that they dealt with. Wow, I'm really talking with a lot of my hands today. The things that they dealt with in this area in time, it showed like how harsh it was. And she worked with her family. She helped like taking the fur and making pelts with her families and things like that. And I really enjoyed that stuff. I'm going to hold off on my thoughts on the end because there's some deeper things there, but I want to hear what you have to say about this book.
I thought it was a bit dark. It reminded me of, oh no, I'm not going to remember it. The Christopher Sabella book about the girl who was Shanghai Red.
Yes.
She was Shanghai, because it had that kind of darkness. Your main character is a young woman who's stuck in a situation that really sucks and has no control of her life, and it leads to her running away to get control of her life so that she can do what she wants versus having, like you said, being sold off to this guy basically so that the family can survive. And then her mom and dad are basically trying to tell her, well, you know, we're doing you a favor. You know, it's a good opportunity for you and for us. We're helping you out, you know, to sell you to be someone's wife. And she just wants to be a writer and she wants to explore the world. And she gets this opportunity and the mysterious guy gives her the package, but she has to travel somewhere that we know it's not a good place to travel there because the grandpa tells a story about how he lost his leg
Right.
going through that forest and going that way. And some creepy story about him having to, you know, because he disturbed or angered some spirits or something, I guess is what I kind of got from it. And they took his leg as a price. So yeah, it's really deep and creepy, and there's a little bit of mysticism. When the like Native American mysticism, I would say.
Yeah, especially like when they speak about it, the Winter Maker, spirit, that's the one you're speaking of, right? Because the, yeah.
Yeah, so it was really cool. I liked it a lot. It's a great looking book. There's a lot of narrative. Basically she's telling her story and she's writing her story down on paper as she's telling you. So what was a kind of cool concept is you have her scratch words out. Like even sometimes there was like I think a whole sentence she scratched out. she put a line through, like she changed her mind what to write next. Yes. I think I thought that was really cool. You know, that so she's telling us this story and then she actually edits it. She's editing herself, you know, because she wants to be a writer. So that was a neat thing. Shout outs to Alahoof on the lettering on that one. That was a cool idea if he came up with that. Yeah, really great book. Good looking book. I want to hear what you have to say about the end, though.
Yeah, you know, at the end where it says, like, Tequila, that actually, at the end where she hears that being said, is actually first appeared in the Edgar Allan Poe book, Narrative of Gordon Arthur, and that was like a cry associated with like mystic birds and like the natives in that area. So we kind of get like a picture of like these arms sticking out, and it's probably gonna be like the white thing. So that's where this book's going to take a different turn, you know what I'm saying? Because now we're going to get into, like, Native American, like, spiritual things, I would think.
Yeah, that's what I assume that's where it's
going.
And
that's why I'm, like, totally in on this book. Not only because of that, but I really think that the art, the whole book, the total package is really good. Like, you know, because it has deep meaning, and that you can tell that Lonnie did a lot of research to put this together, that I'm like, holy crap, this is like a excellent book, man. I enjoy it, man.
Yeah.
And to see, like, you know, where it shows like the lynx missing its eyes and stuff, and it kind of like the last couple panels, I'm like, holy crap, this is going to get really scary. Because that dude that asked her to transport that package for like $200.
$200 is like,
he looked creepy as hell, too. Something. Hell yeah, it is. That's 1800s. She's, yeah. You know, back in my day, we would call that balling.
Yeah.
But that's not cool anymore, you know. I think the kids call it, like, see, I'm flexing now. I think that, is that what you say, Joey? Joe, you're not supposed to answer. But yeah, I really enjoy the book. I like it a lot, and how deep it is and stuff. And I like books that, you know, Thinking Man's books. Like, if you like his books, or a lot of times he works with, like, Zach Thompson, and they do books together, too, like her Infernal Descent and books like that, then you're going to love this book. And it's a Vol book.
Yep, definitely. I'm trying to find out a little more about the artist, Jenna Cha, but she's very new, and I don't know anything about her. But I really liked her art. Her art was really, really stunning in this. And like I said, a little bit, it made me think of Shanghai Red, you know, the way it was drawn, the way it was colored. It set different moods. Mm-hmm. Like when they're in the cabin and you have the campfire, there's like the flickering shadows on the faces and different things. So it made it just the right amount of creepy. And you know, the forest was done really well when she's in the snowstorm. Just a lot of neat things. I really liked the art in this book a lot.
It's an excellent book, so if you just check it out, for real. I highly suggest it. It was probably, out of the three we do today, it was probably my favorite.
Yeah, it probably is the best book. You're probably right. It's very well done, and just very interesting, very deep too.
Yes,
I'm gonna probably reread it, because there is a lot of dialogue.
Yes.
I mean, not dialogue, there is a lot of narrative is the word I'm looking for, I guess, because she's telling you the story more so than there is dialogue. But there's a lot to take in, and you could miss a couple little things, I guess. But really good stuff, definitely. Give it a look. It's Vault with another hit. Pow. Our next book is Folklords Number One. In a world of magic and monsters, Ansel is the outsider hunted by well-pressed suits and modern technology. When it comes time for him to declare his quest on his 16th birthday, Ansel decides to seek out a legend that is only spoken in hushed whispers, the Folklords, hoping they can explain his visions, but looking for the Folklords is expressly forbidden, and going on a rogue quest is punished by death. What will Ansel risk to find out about the world he has never truly belonged in? Written by Matt Kent, illustrated by Matt Smith, colors by Chris O'Hallahan, Letters by Jim Campbell, Boom Studios, Folklords.
Okay, when I first opened up this book, I was like, oh, here we go. I got a freaking Hobbit in my book. and I'm like, you know, I'm not a fan of Lord of the Rings stuff. Don't at me. It's just not my thing. I'm not into walking. But this, you know.
What about feet?
No, I'm not Quentin Tarantino either. But, you know, after, like, looking through it and stuff, before I started reading it, I was like, oh, wait, this could be a little, like, you know, a little Shrek-ish or something. But as I actually started reading it, I was like, oh, wow, this kid Ansel, he has dreams of, like, reality, like, what we're in, like, the total opposite of, like, you know, the fables or the folklores books. And I thought that was an interesting concept. And I also thought it was interesting is that he walks around looking like John Wick because he's got like the thin tie on. He's got the suit jacket and everybody kind of clowns on him about his attire and things like that. And they're talking about like, you know, the questing is a big thing, you know, because most of the times they don't want to, you know, become after their quest, they usually become like cobblers. I think they said ironsmiths, farmers, and maybe carpenters or something like that. Because that's mainly what you get in, like, these stories. But Matt Kent kind of flips the script on that stuff, and he kind of, like, puts in some reality stuff where some... what's Ansel's friend? Is his name Archer? Is his name Archer? Is that his name?
I don't remember. Which one? The green guy?
Yeah. I want to say...
I think so.
I think he mentions, like... He's the one who steals Ansel's idea about wanting to find the folklords, which means, like, the writers. And then the librarians who, like, rule this world, they, like, shut it down immediately. And they're like, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to hand out, like, our ideas, and this is what you're going to do. And come to find out, they shut down the borders, go figure. The spies, like, they basically want them to spy and narc on each other and basically become informants to the librarians to police themselves. And I thought that was really interesting because it kind of gave me, it reminded me of, like, Black Badge and stuff where, you know, instead of, like, taking little kids to, like, do missions, now Matt Kent is using fictitious people like hobbits and gnomes and trolls and things like that. And I'm like, oh shit, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait for him to get a gun. But how do you feel about this book, Andrew?
I felt like I got dropped into a D&D campaign right here, man. That's what I was waiting for. I felt like, oh, so these are like characters in a D&D game. And we're going to find out that the person controlling it all is the Dungeon Master who's wrote a story. And that's why this one kid is just that one player that is off and has to make a character that just never... you know, conforms to the rest of the D&D world. And so I kind of, because like the quests, when they all are talking about their different little quests they're doing, I felt like, you know, it's like you're playing Skyrim or, you know, World of Warcraft or something like that. You know, this is the quest to find this little thing, that little thing. And then I didn't think about the librarian part right away until afterwards. We're like, oh, but maybe they're just authors. And someone's writing all these fictional stories and somebody wants to write a different style of fiction and the library won't let them. So that's where the modernness of his character and then cities and all the things he's envisioning, maybe he wants to move to a different section in the library. He wants to get out of the sword and sorcery hobbit section.
Yeah, I would. I definitely would.
See, but I like the sword and sorcery hobbit section. Yeah. So I kind of like this book. It is a little silly still, but I think it's meant to be silly. The characters, like the blind troll that takes him across, the way his parents behaved, like, I don't know, thinking that, you know, it's so horrible for him to wear those clothes. So I guess we'll see. And I think the party's going to grow. Like, they spent so much time introducing the girl D, and then she's not part of the party. So I'm thinking maybe she joins them later. Because I don't think you would spend that much time on her and then not use her.
Is she the Golden Goose girl?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The one that gets mad at him.
Yeah.
You know, they have that big talk at the end.
Yeah, he's really in the first issue, he kind of fleshes out a lot of characters right away. Like you kind of like get to understand their motives and things like that, especially like when he came across, because this troll helps him across, you know, he has to row the boat across and stuff. And when they get across, because they're not allowed, the kid at the end, I swear he's like the guy that's police in the area, is the kid that's a little not so smart that gets that job and stuff, and he tricks him right away. Like he just lets him go by, and I'm like, oh man, that kid's gonna get in trouble.
When you're talking about the guy who lets him go on the boat, I started laughing to myself there because he gives him goose pies. Call back to, so that's a good use for the goose.
Oh
You
no,
know, you were so upset about the goose,
it's
the geese from last week.
goat pies.
Was it goat? Oh,
Yeah.
I guess I just had goose on the brain from last week. I thought it was goose
Yeah,
pies.
I think it's goat. Let me see. Let me see if I find it
Damn
here.
it. I thought I had a cool
Oh,
callback.
I just screwed up your whole plan.
You did.
Let me see if
It
I
was a bad joke anyway. Bad jokes usually deserve to be screwed up.
Yeah, it says goat curry pie.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the goat pies.
Edit it
But
out.
yeah. That's
No,
that.
it's I definitely like it. And then the one whole page of like showing like modern time of like, well, I wouldn't necessarily say modern time because he's using a typewriter. He's seen typewriters, watches, things like that. Even he sees a gun, so that's where I was like, holy crap, I can't wait. When he's wearing like John Wick suit, and I'm like, get this dude a gun, maybe he can do some karate shit and we can have a good old time with this. But I'm just hoping.
I mean, he has that bag that he has an old radio, and he has a watch that really doesn't work right, and some different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what Matt Kent did, right? Like Ninja K and things like that, Ninjak, Black Badge. It's kind of
So
his
this is like
style.
Ninjak?
Yeah, maybe he's like the Ninjak of hobbits.
Oh boy.
That's the only way you're gonna keep me, Matt Kent. Give him a strap.
Alrighty. Well, those are the comic books this week. Even a Hobbit one. We snuck one in. Tricked you, Fred. And I guess we'll move forward on our wrestling. It's time to wrestle, nerds. All right, we're ready to start talking about wrestling this week. I'm guilty of not watching enough. I probably only watched three shows. I don't know about you guys. What did you guys watch?
Everything that we needed to, right?
No, we didn't
Damn.
watch New Japan.
Yeah, well, you never watched New Japan.
What?
Did you watch
A
Impact?
tiny bit.
Ooh, impressive. Did you watch ROH?
Hell no.
So you didn't watch any of your shows, Dad?
What?
Actually, I'm in charge of ROH. I
You didn't
blew it
watch
off,
Impact
but it
or
sucks.
anything. I did watch some Impact.
With the first
Are you
match.
paying attention?
Okay.
Did you watch AAA?
Yes.
I didn't watch AAA.
It
Is
was a
AAA
pretty good
good?
show. Yeah.
Nice. So what happened on AAA? We'll
Okay.
let you go first then.
All right. There were three matches. I don't know what the show was called, but the second match was Daga versus Drago for the Latin American Championship. And Daga won. And Drago was the champ.
Oh. You sure that's not something old?
I don't know. They just put it out though. But I don't know. I think maybe.
Because I think I saw on Twitter when he won that.
Maybe.
Okay,
All
we'll
right.
see. Depends. Tell me some more about this.
Because there were only three matches, that was the second match, and the third match was like a tag team, like a eight teams in a cage, and the last two guys were Rey Scorpion and Pentagon, and Pentagon escaped out of there.
That is old. I saw
Yeah.
that live.
Okay.
Because I remember that I wanted to text you right away and tell you that Rey Escorpión looked just as fat as the guys on NWA that you like to give shit. So I was like, okay, I see how it is. They look like the big old fat Mexican shield. I'm sorry.
Well, that's messed up. But I guess you could
But I
say
can say that.
that. You can say that. Don't at me.
They put something else out, but I didn't watch it. It was them versus the, what was the other company that they did it before? It was them versus like a
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Yes, he did.
But on that same show you're talking about, that's the show that Omega beat Phoenix for the title.
Really?
That's why I know I've seen that show. Yeah. That's why Pentagon wasn't part with Phoenix, because Phoenix fought earlier in the night.
Against Omega. That was like 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that was a while ago. That shows you how long it takes for some of their stuff to get.
Yeah. Well, it was a main pay-per-view, so they didn't put it out for a while.
Yeah. Makes sense. That's cool, though. Glad you saw it, because there were good matches. And I didn't see the Daga-Drago match, because that was early.
Yeah.
And by the time I found out that that was going on that day, I had already missed it.
Yeah, well, so. When they do singles matches, they're not all high-flying. They're more technical than they usually are. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know why. So I think I follow Tessa Blanchard on Twitter, and she was all excited
because
for her man winning a title.
Because she got engaged to him this weekend.
Oh, did she?
Or this week.
No, I meant when that title happened. Wow.
Yeah, they're engaged.
Did Ricochet get sad?
I don't know. Maybe that's why they put him on TV, but we'll get to that later.
All right, so did you guys watch MLW?
Yes.
What about an MLW that was worth watching?
I don't know. Well, the main event was...
You don't even remember?
No, I remember what it was. It was Davey Boy versus Tom Lawler.
Oh.
Ooh, who won?
I believe it was Tom Lawler won, I think.
I think he did. Yeah, he did win because after it, he was like...
He was having a promo.
Because his contract was almost up. But as we know, as of today, he was like hinting, like he said, like SmackDown Raw kind of like hinted those things. And NXT in the promo, he, as of today, we realized that he did resign with them, right?
Yeah. He did resign, and sorry, I mean, I like MLW, but Lawler's not Raw on SmackDown.
Yeah, he was.
He was NXT.
Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
But not Tom Lawler. No. I'm not even sure Tom Lawler's Dynamite.
No.
So.
He was talking trash to that one, the boxer they just signed. Well, no, the MMA fighter they just signed. But in his highlights, I think his name's like King Mo. They just signed him, and in the clips that they showed, it was like one clip was like him knocking out Tom Lawler, and I was like, oh, that's...
Wait, they signed King Mo?
Yeah, he was in the crowd and stuff, and they signed him.
Oh, so that's what they're doing, is recruiting a lot of
UFC
guys.
They're trying to get fighter guys. But
yeah, well, it worked for them. Lawler was a decent championship.
Yeah, but that Garini thing failed. Like,
yeah.
That guy's terrible.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, not good. I mean, I don't know what MLW do, hit or miss. You know, they need to build up some young talents, and it sure as hell isn't those idiots, what their name, Myron Reed and all his crew of dummies.
It could have been Cotto Brazil until they threw him in there.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. He was interesting. They need to, I don't know, maybe some luchadors. Maybe there's somebody from Crash.
Yeah.
That, is that the Japanese that they're with?
Yeah, they're doing Crash and Noah.
And then when I went to check on that Lawler news to see if it was legit, I went to the MLW site, and I didn't know that, I guess, Contra is going to fight Seema and what are the names of the two guys with him?
I don't know.
Strongbow or Strong...
Something like that.
Whatever. Yeah. So they're going to MLW for a match. So it's interesting. But yeah, that's about it on MLW.
Yeah.
Well, Fatu re-signed too.
Oh, did he? Nice.
I mean, he's the champ.
Does that make him exclusive, you think, or do you think he could still pop up on like an AEW or somewhere like that?
The thing I think about him is Core Bauer is the one that discovered and worked with like Umaga a lot, which happens to be, I think, his uncle.
Yeah, I think so.
And he has a lot of, he used to deal with a lot of like the Samoan dynasty stuff when he was with WWE, when he would work backstage. So I think he has a lot of pull in that family, so I think he really wants to build around him to make him that Umaga type guy, but he's a lot more athletic than his
uncle. Umaga, Umaga did the throwing up, where he threw the guy up and then hit him with the Samoan drop, but then they all do that, though.
So the Usos.
Yeah, but they can't throw people up in the air.
Well, they weren't as strong, but yeah. He's probably the most athletic Samoan guy. I mean, that's full Samoan. Because you can't put him and Rock in the same category because he's not full Samoan. But I think he's probably the most athletic out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if WWE went after him hard. You think they would have?
They probably would have.
You know?
Yeah.
To try to get like a new Umaga type thing.
Put him with Roman or against Roman or something. They could definitely do a cool program with Roman.
Oh my God, Umaga's nephew on NXT.
Yeah, you're right. So I think that's it. Did we hit everything? You didn't watch Impact, really? Is
No.
anything? No. I didn't watch
I'm
Impact.
trying to think. What else did we watch? I don't know.
I didn't watch New Japan. Oh, I know what we watched. Into the
Oh,
Fire.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. Speaking of that, that's where Jim Cornette went.
Into the fire.
Right into the dumpster fire. Yep.
Boy, oh
Yeah, Jimmy's
boy.
gone. Well,
Boy.
will he be gone though? I mean, these sessions are taped.
They should have caught it
So,
and then not fired him.
but I mean, he's going to be in future episodes. He just may not be in nothing new,
Right.
but we could still have a bunch of episodes with Jim Cornette in them.
And he might
So,
say more things.
yeah,
They
you
might catch it
think.
this time. They might pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the best thing in Into the Fire is you have like you were right, totally, Fred. It's a like Latino thing. All the Latinas are coming together to form this big old group. Yeah, that's what happened.
The
So they
Latin
got another
nation.
one. Yep, the
Yeah.
Latin Nation.
Because now they got
Oh.
Melina part of them.
Her and Taya should have a match.
You know, the
Sometimes.
only thing I didn't like about that match, and I've liked Thunder Rosa a lot in this stuff, is I hate the old where the baby face is so dumb, they turn their back to the heel and they get rolled up. I just hate that move. WWE uses that so much. Like somebody comes to the like top of the ramp in WWE and like Seth Rollins will go to the ropes and look at them and
Right.
then he'll get rolled up.
Or when they like just
Yeah.
put it's like a false entrance music.
But
Yeah.
it makes sense because NWA is like old school, so that's what you would have seen a lot of back in our day.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And the Latinos would have been the bad guys back in our day.
Yeah, they sure would have.
Yeah.
Definitely. And she's the baby face. But yeah, it was good. I was telling you, Ashley Vox looks better in NWA than I see her on her indie stuff. So I don't know if it's the style that they do in NWA or the people she's in the ring with are elevating her, but she looks really good. It's the best I've ever seen her. And I really like the NWA women's division,
Yeah,
personally.
I like a lot of the character work, especially like promos. I'm digging the question mark. He's so over.
Oh,
He's in Sandow. Well, Aaron Stevens is so over too. Even though like he's getting a reaction, you know, like they were doing the back and forth, like yes, no, you know, with those two.
is Joey the question?
I can't
Do you know
answer
where
that.
he was on Tuesday?
I don't. Where were you Tuesday?
At school.
Do you have an alibi?
Well,
You may be the
he was supposed
question.
to be doing his homework in his room, but he didn't see it.
I was downstairs
See,
watching it.
I think he's trying to trick us. All his anti-NWA talk is just to throw off the scent that he's the
Just to
question.
throw off that it looks like Jerry Lawler with a Mexican mask on.
He does not look like Jerry Lawler.
Yes, he does.
You don't look like Jerry Lawler.
I don't. Question mark does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He's got the whole same outfit besides the mask. He's bigger.
No.
Well, I like Eli Drake. He's slowly become my favorite on the show. And he doesn't even wrestle. I just enjoy his promos. He comes out there and the crowd tries to throw him off his game and they can't. He goes with it and he shuts him down. Just great, great mic work. Probably one of the best right now.
Yeah, Impact messed up. You think that they're gonna put a belt on him?
Maybe the secondary title at
So,
some
like
point.
Colt Cabana's belt?
Yeah, but not Aldis's belt. I think Aldis is doing way too well as the champion. He's perfect for them right now. I mean, the only person I would take it off for all this is if they somehow figured a way to get Tim Storm another match. That would be the only person I would consider at this point taking it off all this. They better not go to the other Storm,
James Storm?
the Rednecks. Yeah, James.
Oh
No,
boy.
I'll stop watching if they put it on
Sorry
him.
about your damn luck. That
Yeah,
kind
I'm
of
not watching that.
that
But if
shit.
Tim Storm, that'd be an emotional match if Tim Storm somehow got a rematch and this time beats him. That'd be
But
pretty
you know
cool.
what? They kind of might be setting up the James Storm thing because wasn't that Camille?
She came out and whispered
Yeah.
something, and then he left.
Well, in real life, she dates one of those guys in the tag team.
And what tag team?
The ones who have the belts. So, did you see they were
Lucha
asking them a
Bros.
question like, what's your relationship with Camille? Marquez was that? Not Marquez. Marquez is AWA. What's the name of the Mexican or Hispanic announcer on NWA?
I don't know. The guy that works on the cardboard set?
Yeah, the gordito. he was asking him, he goes, so what's your relationship with her? And they kept like deflecting it and stuff. But yeah, one of those guys on the tag team actually, I guess, dates her. So
what was his
I think
name
they're mixing in that into the storyline.
Oh, the one guy was Brahman on Impact. He used to be Brahm, the guy that wears the skirt.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's the bigger of the two guys,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's him then. That's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's English.
Real life couple.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. That's all I got on NWA.
Good.
What? Don't say good.
What?
Are you going to get the pay-per-view? You should get the pay-per-view.
No. Be
awesome.
No.
He said
awesome.
No.
I'm not getting that. Put it on YouTube. I'll watch it.
It's not good wrestling.
How are you not getting it? Isn't it like totally in your wheelhouse? Like that's your stuff?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm saving some money for WrestleMania week to get all the indie pay-per-views.
Oh, the indie promotion.
Yeah, because last year I watched like 43 of them for 100 and some bucks.
And it was just guys nice. From everywhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't specific.
It was the best week ever.
Yes, that's...
Curious how good that'll be this time around now that AEW has snapped up so many of them.
Yeah.
And
some
NXT
to
a certain extent.
Some of them are able to work, right? You say Lucha Bros go wherever they want.
Yeah. But probably not as many as you used to think. There's a lot of guys that have been pulled off the indies that would be in those shows.
Well, that's the first time we've seen Darby Allin, so that's how he got to AEW. So maybe we'll see some new guys.
New guys, there you go.
But hopefully there's not no more, like, what's the Japanese dude that wrestled for ECW? And he just showed up on, like, every show.
I don't know.
It was like sometimes they would just, like, throw legends in there that don't need a match. But
cool story.
Gotcha. I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, Boomer.
He's Gen Z or some shit. I don't even know what he is.
He doesn't even know what he is.
No.
Fucking.
All right.
So Steve
well,
in
the
back.
Big ones.
Steve in the back was kicking his ass earlier today. I don't know.
No. Nope.
What does Steve think of NWA?
Steve likes AAA too. What?
No, Steve doesn't like AAA.
What? No, that's not what Steve said.
Why don't you ask him? He's sitting on your lap.
That's a lie.
Oof. So NXT won. Thoughts?
It was because
they won with
the
your age
beginning
bracket.
Of the apocalypse.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you not see what Chris Jericho said?
What did Chris Jericho say?
Chris Jericho said it was because it was Raw and SmackDown were on there. Pretty. I think it is what he said. Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what he said. You're paraphrasing.
Okay.
And he said it much more eloquently.
Yeah.
Yes. Much more.
And he probably threw a jab in there, too.
Yes.
Okay, then. Don't speak for Chris Jericho.
Okay, but Chris Jericho...
Le champion.
You're totally. Le Marc. Le Marc.
So...
Le Jabber yeah. Joey.
Were you happy that NXT finally won one, or did that really hurt you?
Does,
hurt you in the indie core?
Does it... I mean, does... I don't think it matters.
Oh, wait. Then he also said that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's throwing those words back on WWE because they said that.
Yes.
After the very first.
Because WWE also said that they weren't going. They're not in competition. But why did you bring all Raw and SmackDown guys down unless you're in competition? I'm smelling bullshit right here.
Let's just say if. WWE didn't win this week. They were never going to win.
Right.
I mean, this is it. They threw, this was like a blitz. This was a full out blitz. They went for broke on this one. They threw a Hail Mary. They threw everything they had on that show, man.
Yeah. There were a lot of boos, but there were also a couple of cheers.
There was more cheers than I thought, which I think the NXT crowd kind of, that's the problem with you being in that same building every time. There's too many marks in there. You're supposed to be booing the WWE guys.
Well, not all of them.
Well, even all of them. Because if you're in character and it's like an invasion, you're supposed to cheer for your home team. And your home team is NXT. You're Full Sail. This is the land of NXT. You take care of your team. That's how I look at it. You should be booing them. Just, I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't get excited for it. I was like, oh, here we go again. Woo-hoo! Another Raw SmackDown anniversary show, this time on NXT. It's like Vince McMahon showing me like, oh, look who I got now. But it doesn't have any storytelling. Like, there's no meaning behind it. It's just like throwing people, it's throwing shit at a wall and seeing if it sticks.
Well, you said we were going to try to build up this NXT episode.
What?
Okay, so here's Here's the good things.
Oh, here, good Ooh. Things.
Well, before you go to the good things, because I agree with you, there were some good things. I got to expound on what your dad said. Yeah, it's the storytelling. We talked about that on our very first comic book wrestling episode. Why do we like wrestling and comic books together? Telling stories. Mm-hmm. And NXT's not telling good stories right now where they used to be. Everything's rushed. Everything doesn't make sense. You're trying to tell this war game story at the same time you're telling a Survivor Series story. And sometimes they don't make sense. Like Tegan Knox is on like for Survivor Series. She's over there on Baszler's team. But for War Games, she's against Baszler and Baszler's her enemy. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It's just some weird, like, weird it's just stuff. Messy.
It's like Marvel or DC doing like comics and being like, well, let's throw this team up right here because they're like the best stars, but then have no context that it goes, you know, and continuity going forward in the world. It's just like a one shot. And
it's like them, how they use Wolverine and Batman, how they're everywhere and they're different depending on if you read Batman in Justice League, or if you read Batman in Batman, or read Batman in Detectives, that's what it is. It's like
even better, it's like when Marvel has like a new number one and they could throw like 40 variant covers at you because they just want you to buy it. So that's basically what this is like, oh, look who else we have. Look who else we have. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that Rhea Ripley fought. I just banged the mic. Rhea Ripley fought Becky Lynch, but I don't need, you know, you to keep bringing different people down to get me interested.
Okay, go ahead.
Start with the good stuff now. This show, I mean, not this show. These matches, okay, so most of them, they're just throwing dream matches at us, and then they're crushing them with these run-ins, and these matches could have been great if there wasn't, oh my god, here comes Cesaro and Shinsuke. Time to break up this match, or here comes Shayna Baszler right when the match starts.
Because they have to protect everybody.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anyone to lose. But there are some good things, like Becky Lynch on a mic. She's still one of the best stars in the business. Yeah. I mean, she proved it yesterday. I was like, because I haven't watched SmackDown or Raw in forever.
Right.
And the way she went out there and she delivered like on the spot, like mic work, I was like, okay, that's pretty badass. And then she wrestled a really good match, and I'm like, that's pretty badass, too. She's not getting enough credit as a good wrestler because she doesn't get good matches on her own shows. She has to go down to NXT to get a match.
She doesn't get, like, she never gets more than, or 10 minutes or more on Raw or SmackDown. And NXT has always been focused kind of like that indie feel where you get extra time and you can tell stories and it's matches. But don't you feel like this show was like influenced by like Vince? Like this was his idea.
He was like, hey.
The endings, Ricochet's whole thing makes zero sense. Ricochet's a good guy.
Because
why would he jump a guy from behind just to have a match with Riddle? It's like it's out of character.
Right. This is where I feel like Vince is trolling every WWE fan because he knows you're going to watch regardless. He knows that because basically it's like Twitter, like some people use Twitter to get people riled up and stuff. It's like he's trolling you to get a reaction, but just throwing all different things so you forget about the next thing. It's like the dog when he sees a squirrel. You're not paying attention to storylines or loving wrestling for why you're doing it. He wants to get you emotionally high by, oh my god, there's Drew McIntyre. Oh shit, here comes Seth Rollins. Like, dude, come on, dude.
He thinks that, like, I know what he's trying to do. He said,
he trying to do?
Here's the NXT people. They came here to see the show because they want to see indie wrestling on a big platform. So here, I'm going to just throw all the indie guys on there. I'm not throwing any Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar's, no New Day's. No Braun Strowman's. Yeah. He's just
But he could have threw New Day on there.
But he's trying to throw guys that he knows people want to see, but they don't want to see it like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he understands.
No, he wanted to just pull out all his little toys and show everyone, look what I have.
And they don't lead to anywhere. These stories don't continue after this week. These stories are all over
they
after
can't
this week.
they can't continue to go at this level, otherwise you're gonna piss off talent of like main roster people that are like, dude, are you serious? You're gonna take all these younger dudes that aren't making as much and stuff, and I'm just gonna sit here and be happy about it? I mean, yeah, Randy Orton's gonna be happy, but who else is? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's not sustainable. I just don't think it's the way to do things. You're right, it gets an instant pop because of there's so much on there. It was basically like a really cool pay-per-view.
Right, you
you
can't.
know what I mean? That they just threw like a, you know, those pay-per-views where you just people show up, you like an indie one where it's like all these surprises and all this craziness and crazy endings and stuff, but it's really no, like the next regular show, none of those people are there anymore.
Right, like just to build off like one point that you made is like it's like the Hail Mary. You can't play football and throw the Hail Mary every time. Otherwise, you're gonna get screwed. I mean, the only team you could probably beat is my Lions, but that's about it.
I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I
No.
didn't love it.
Right.
There were bits and pieces I liked. I thought
Right.
O'Reilly and Fish looked really, really good. That's the best they've ever looked. And of course, it's because the Revival are getting a good match out of them. That might be the best match I've seen of the War Raiders in forever.
The Viking
You know,
Raiders.
because no, they're the War Raiders. They were on NXT, God damn it. They were the War Raiders, and everyone was screaming "War, war,
Yeah.
war." So, yeah, it's just there was good things, but then there was things that just dragged, and I really didn't care about all that stuff at the end, and I don't like Seth Rollins anymore. He just annoys the hell out of me. So,
You got excited when you seen Dijakovic, which you don't like him, and he sold that whatever McIntyre's kick is called. You, because you said you've never seen him move like that or something.
yeah, he sold it. I mean, the show was good. It was decent, but just don't respect the fan base because you know there's people that want to keep it. You know, you're basically turning NXT into a freaking circus. And you're going away, you're treating it like Raw or SmackDown when fans want to see, you know, the 20, 15-minute matches of good wrestling, storytelling in the ring. They don't want to see freaking run-ins and, oh, look, here's Shinsuke or, you know, things like that. No one wants to see that. I mean, those are like your, those people want to see that, then that's why they watch Raw and SmackDown, and those shows aren't doing so well either, so.
Yeah, nobody's really enjoying Raw or
No.
SmackDown. So that just goes to show you. It's almost like it's proving 2 points to me that NXT can't win without taking the WWE talent down there. And the NXT style of doing things is better than the Raw and SmackDown way of doing things.
Well, we all know the reason why it's better is because, you know, Vince McMahon wasn't a part of it, and Triple H actually got to show people what he can do. And Triple H is influenced just by the same people that AEW does things like is WCW, where he began his career. And that's what he based everything upon. So just give the people what they want. Let the people have it. Wrestling. You have your entertainment on Raw and SmackDown. I mean, it's cute. 1 week you can pull this off and have some run-ins, and people are like, "Oh my God, can you believe Seth Rollins came down there?" Dude, they've been building that on Raw and SmackDown. I mean, it's bound to happen. They couldn't compete for 7 weeks. They had to throw some heavy hitters in there.
Yeah, before AEW even started, we on some of our episodes used to talk about it. Oh, we used to like throw out those hypotheticals. Well, if they start losing, what if they throw Daniel Bryant versus Gargano? We used to say like things like that,
We called it.
you know, and that's pretty much what they've did. They got beat for 6 weeks in a row, and they called in the army, you know.
Yeah, because it's desperate times, desperate times. But I mean, for me, just to segue, I'm more into storytelling and like the characters and the characters being who they are on and off, outside, in and outside of the ring. And I feel like that's AEW, and it's more genuine. The storytelling's great. The characters are allowed to like put themselves over. They're not having people write their promos. They're doing it right there. You know what I'm saying? Like it's real. It's the stuff that used to happen.
It's as real as wrestling's gonna get.
Yeah.
Look at AEW. Darby's a star now. Sammy's a bit of a star. MJF is a star. Riho's a star. In what, 7 episodes, 7 weeks they've done this?
Jericho
I
is
mean,
the top of the world.
Cody. probably one of the biggest baby faces in the whole business right now.
Yeah.
Oh, he can do no wrong. The crowd goes bonkers for him. I mean, what they've done out of nothing and their stories for next week. I can't wait. I watch all of AEW. I do not get on my phone. I don't fast forward anything. You know what I mean?
Unless if Britt Baker's it. Wrestling, right?
I even watch her, even though I cringe.
Ooh.
I watch her. I
He's
watch
dedicated.
Her and I complain. I complain though, and I look at it and I'm trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with this
What's wrong
problem.
With
her? And I'm telling you, I jumped off the couch. My daughter was reading, sitting next to me, and I'm like, she lost. Kick ass. She lost. I was so happy because I thought for sure Britt Baker wins. It sets up Britt Baker versus Riho part two. I already had it in my mind that's what was going to happen. And I was sitting there already grumpy about that happening, and the fact that she lost was the best thing of the whole night.
AEW knows what we want. They can tell.
What's that?
I said AEW knows what we want. They can tell.
I think they can tell. I think they do realize who's over and who isn't over. Like, really over.
Yeah, but I will say that, you know, that both are going to succeed. Both shows will succeed. But I think the following of AEW is like the new breed, the new generation of fandom that is going to make WWE is already changing to try to get to that level. They are forcing his hand to make things different. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're changing the game.
But will they? Can they sustain it at NXT? Okay, let's throw out a hypothetical. What if Vince pulls up all these guys to the main roster? I mean, he looks and he sees how popular, because now he's watching NXT. He never used to watch it, so he didn't pay attention. So he says, okay, well, let's pull up Keith Lee and let's pull up Riddle and let's pull up Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era and let's pull up all these women and let's pull them up and all of a sudden NXT is depleted. Can NXT, with the guys that we really haven't seen yet that haven't been built, could they beat AEW on a weekly basis? I don't think so. I don't think they could.
No, because
I think the tag team is already a mess.
No, because they couldn't do it because they're not building storylines, because they're bringing down the old former stars back down there to take those spots away to build those storylines, where in the other AEW, you're getting storylines that continuity week to week, kind of like the soap opera feel, like we've always said, as from me being a kid and up, wrestling was always known as the men's soap opera, and you have that continuity. You know, so-and-so died on the general hospital or whatever it may be. They stay dead, but eventually they come back to life. But there's, you know, it keeps going. Like, the people remember that. Basically, in NXT or Raw or SmackDown, they're like, oh, this happened last week, but we're going to put you in this match. I mean, what are you giving the fans? Like, give them something to root for, cheer for, like, say somebody loses two matches in a row, they keep fighting, keeping that fighting spirit. Instead, they're like, oh, uneven booking, lose this week, win this week, win this week. You know what I'm saying? It's just all over the place. It's a freaking mess. It's Vince.
It is Vince.
That's good shit.
So NXT did not have Cody Rhodes, Omega. Yeah, I mean, he had a little tape thing, but Omega didn't come out. Didn't have Matt Jackson. It didn't have Pac. It didn't have Riho.
Where's Nick
Jackson? And it still barely lost. You know what I mean?
They gave us...
So you
I was going to say, they gave us a great opening match, though.
Yeah.
With two guys that are in tag teams that almost never... Or they haven't in this thing, but definitely Jackson hasn't done a lot of singles matches.
They never
Phoenix has, but Jackson hasn't.
Right.
They never do singles matches, but, I mean, like, I didn't think he could do it by himself. I knew he was athletic enough to keep up with Phoenix, but I didn't know he could...
But is
he
that
hold it himself for
Phoenix
single.
Made him look sweet, like all his he sold everything, like he's gonna hurt his neck selling shit because he was doing some crazy stuff. And like, when people were getting excited about like Becky and Rhea, I was like, oh, that's great, but dude, if you guys haven't seen
the AEW
Phoenix and Nick Jackson, then I don't even think it's close.
Telling you, Nick Jackson has it. He's the Shawn Michaels.
They're not going to break up, though. That's the only problem.
You know what? I think that they are realizing to make things interesting, because they can't keep giving you the same guys every week.
Right.
Wait.
I heard, okay, for example, we had Chucky T in the Battle Royal, and I guess one of the matches for Dark next week is Pentagon versus Trent.
Yep.
So they're trying to start using these guys. Now we have Scorpio Sky about to do a singles match. They're starting to try to, Angelico, Or no, Jack Evans has a dark match
against Omega, right?
Omega. So I think they're being smart and realizing, okay, we have these great talented wrestlers. Let's don't just limit them to be just tag team wrestlers.
Right, because they Let's even
make that, things interesting.
That guy in the Dark Order, that Stu whatever, he Stu needs Grayson. To be.
Oh yeah,
he needs to do some single stuff. Like they have a lot of talent. Like Jungle Boy is so over. MJF is like getting mad heat. Like they have so much stuff going on. And then if you know they. The roster is talented. They can work together to do tag team stuff, but they can split them all up, and they're all stars.
Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus, Jack Hagar is going to be a huge match when they finally do that.
Yeah.
I want to see something.
That's going to be a big match.
I have a feeling that this is going to happen.
Ooh, why are your feet out?
Because I'm at home.
He's a hobbit.
What kind of ogre feet are those?
I don't know.
Okay, tell us what you were thinking, Shrek.
Okay, so I have a feeling that this is going to happen.
Donkey.
You know the Pentagon Christopher Daniels thing's going on? And how he keeps showing up in, like, Phoenix masks or his own, or Pentagon masks? I think at one point it is actually going to be Phoenix next to him, and Pentagon's just going to attack him, and then they get in a feud or something like that. Like him and his brother.
Maybe. I just go back to the fact that they're the number one contender, though. So that's the only thing that's keeping me from thinking they're going to break up, because I feel like they're going to get a run with it. Unless they get jumped over by the LAX.
They could.
Like, maybe LAX beats them due to, like, some shenanigans. So it's not a clean win. Like, they cheat, because that's what LAX's story is right now. They're the cheaters. And LAX gets the belt. And then maybe what you're saying could happen, that Pentagon and Phoenix break up. That might work.
Yeah.
But I totally dig them both as singles guys. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, at least for TV, like they're using Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky's not going to fight Jericho on a pay-per-view.
No.
But it's awesome for TV. It's a great match. I want to see that. That's a good TV match. You elevate Scorpio a little bit. Jericho still holds on to the belt because it's not time to take the belt off. And you don't have Jericho in a match with, you know, the guys you're saving for pay-per-views. You don't have him in a match with Pac. You don't have him in a match with Omega or any of those guys. You know what I mean? So you save those guys. I think it's really smart booking. You know, I think they're doing a good job. And can we just say that Billy Gunn is still so over?
He is over.
Yeah, he's
and
pretty
MJF
big.
Is... he kept interrupting that. The crowd really got mad at him. Like, I'm surprised they didn't throw stuff at him while the match was going on.
So you're saying he's good heel?
He's good heel.
Yeah.
He's great heel.
I do got to point out some bad booking, though.
What's
they had Paige eliminate Billy Gunn, and all that did was bring heat down on Paige. And he never recovered from that.
But
the crowd was pissed at him.
They kept hinting to Paige leaving the Elite.
No, he did.
He did. But he did on the internet show. That's... You can't do that. They've got to be better at not assuming everyone's watching the internet show. That's as bad as WWE assuming I'm watching Raw and SmackDown to understand the Survivor Series storyline. Don't assume. They should have been more... The announcer should have said, you know, right when he came out, Hangman Page, no longer part of the Elite, left the Elite. I don't know.
They should have rolled the clip before the show. This is what's happened on Being the Elite. They plug Being the Elite in the corner, and they show the clip, and then they go with the show.
You're right. Like, you shouldn't assume. My dad always said that assuming makes an ass out of you and me.
Yep, there you go. Because I think a lot of people don't watch as much as we think. They don't watch Dark. They don't watch Being the Elite. So they don't know those stories that are going on. Yeah. You know?
But they do kind of have the Total Divas thing going on, but not for the women. Like,
yeah, like, for the long-haired dudes.
Yeah, if you're into that. Right, Steve?
But
yeah.
Sure. But overall, I thought it was a great show. I think it's getting better. I think the women's division still needs work. But lots of good stuff. The Dark Order, what do you guys think of that new promo for the Dark Order? Did you guys like that?
It was awesome. But you found it creepy? You thought it sucked?
No, not really. It wasn't creepy. It was just a little different.
It was kind of grown-up creepy. I could see how you don't like it.
Joe, look out behind you. Steve's behind you.
I thought it was more like like Scientology stuff.
Yeah.
Which is creepy to us grown-ups.
Yeah. Scientology's kind
of... Especially
no offense.
Especially if you're Beck or... Who do they pray to? Tom Cruise? Wait, yeah, should probably Tom not Cruise. Say this. We're not trying to sing...
John Travolta.
We're just having... We're just joking. I don't know. Don't please don't take offense.
All the shit you've said in all these podcasts, and you're worried about offending the Scientologists.
They're the ones with the money, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They base their whole religion on some guy that wrote a book that was a science fiction writer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to that, like that effect. Yeah.
I mean, but hell, who are we to criticize? We watch wrestling.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, go ahead.
Oh, man. So that's all I got for this week.
Yeah.
Pretty light week.
It was pretty light week. I want to say before we close out the show that I want to give a big shout out to Dr. Joe on a streaming channel today. You know, we were in there. He was talking a lot about wrestling while he was playing his video games. That's how they say it in Boston. Boston. You know, those guys. Good Will Hunting, great movie. Go out there.
Eli.
Yeah, go out there and sub to his channel at Backcracker _ Dr. Joe. And then also before we close out, I just want to give a shout out to the Bright Side Chat. I'm repping their shirt tonight. Those guys are, it's another good show and stuff. And I believe DJ is from there. And I think John was originally, but now he's not. But yeah, some more Boston
love. They have two shows now.
Yeah, one's a home theater thing. That's something you're into, mm-hmm. Andrew. You're a big movie guy. You used to do the movie podcast.
Used to.
Yeah.
Then the movie, that movie crowd got on my nerves.
Yeah.
They shit on everything before it even comes out now. So.
Assholes.
So I kind of left it. But yeah, I quietly still enjoy the movies.
Yeah. It's a good show too. But yeah, and thanks for all the support from you guys, and we'll continue to give it back.
The Scuba Steve versus Joey Bacadona's match is coming soon.
What?
That going to happen? Maybe that'll happen in a year.
In a year? I was thinking
We need to build it up, right, Fred?
Next weekend.
Yeah, you have to do this, right? You can't just rush into it there, Vince McMahon.
Oh, what?
Yeah, man.
You can't always give the people what they want right away. You got to, like...
Do want it.
You know, I like to call it like teasing, little tease here, little taste. Give them a little taste.
And it is not going to happen next week because we're not doing a show next week.
No, because we're
a mentioned couple, that up top.
We're a couple of haters. A couple of haters. A couple of haters.
What do we got over here?
Huh?
A couple of haters.
You're a little soft. Soft?
All right. I was just going to say I'm going to enjoy some turkey and beer, but okay.
Huh? A couple of haters?
Couple of
haters. What do we got over here? What? Wait, you're eating turkey?
Aren't you eating turkey?
I eat turkey almost all the time, so it's nothing. It's a lot of white meat I eat. I eat a lot of that. That's a lot of protein and that stuff. I eat a lot of that stuff. But
actually, the thing to get excited for Thanksgiving is I'm going to eat some carbs.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat the potatoes. Because, you're right. The turkey and the chicken.
That's what the lady at the grocery store asked me when I was checking out. She was like, are you eating turkey? I'm like, did you not see what I just put in here? Turkey sausages, turkey burgers, turkey everything. I was like, I don't know what I was like, I might eat like, maybe we should make lasagna or manicotti or something.
Out of turkey?
No, not out of turkey.
No, not out of turkey.
I'm about to get...
You want a turkey?
I'm about to hit lasagna. You in your gobbler. You keep it up. They're chucklehead.
Turkey. So, we'll be off next week. And we'll be back the week after. Okay. And then we got at least one special show planned for...
It's the donut show?
December. The donut show.
No.
Give the people what they want.
They don't want to hear that.
Yes,
crap.
They do.
This is an AEW.
You're like 2-day-old donuts. That shit's stale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So you can find us at nerdylegion.com. Look for Indie Alley or subscribe to the entire Nerdy Legion Network. Then you can get Bright Side Podcast and the Bright Side home theater podcast. Are we beating children? And
no children
and
were
every
born.
Other great podcast that's on the site. You can follow us at Indie Alley on Twitter. You can follow Fred at Comics Fred. You can follow me at Real Comics. And you can follow our other show, which will be dropping next Sunday, at Nerds From for Nerds From the Underground. And I guess that's it. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Wrestling is real. People are fake. We out. Into the fire.
What the fuck?